It's 7:45. Good morning, I'm Anthony Murnoll with KRWG News. New Mexico has long faced challenges with early childhood education and care in the state. To learn more about what the state is doing to address the issue, I talked with Lori Martinez, Executive Director of Engage New Mexico. Lori, thank you so much for joining us for the program.
Thanks for having me.
This is obviously such an important issue in New Mexico. It has been for a really long time. And the pandemic has made an impact to this issue as well. Do we have an understanding about how COVID-19 has impacted early childhood education and care in the state?
I think it's safe to say we have some. The pandemic isn't over, so the changes aren't over either. But one area that we do know, I think, more about is related to childcare. Because during the pandemic, childcare providers were impacted really heavily, not just in New Mexico, but across the country. And we know that in New Mexico, we lost a lot of childcare providers, not just the center-based ones, but in New Mexico, the state allows home childcare providers as well. And so we know that we lost a fair amount of them. We don't know how many more we're going to lose. And the state has been taking steps to retain them and to try and rectify that situation, but we don't know long-term yet what the outcomes of that are going to be.
Okay, now, what has the state done to really take action against this issue and help out childcare providers?
Well, one thing that's important for people to know if they don't already is that our state launched a statewide early childhood education and care department. We're one of just a handful of states in the country that have a cabinet-level state department focused on early childhood. And so what that did is it took a lot of our early childhood programs that were previously spread out between the public education department and children, youth, and families department, Department of Health, and moved them under the umbrella of one agency. So what that does is it helps streamline services and hopefully in the long term makes them more accessible to families. The other thing that's important to remember is that that department launched during the pandemic. And so by law, it was slated to, you know, to begin on July 1st, but the reality was they were moving before then. And so some of the things they did were putting lots of subsidies into place right away, for example, and working really hard not to be, I think, punitive towards families and providers whose situations changed really rapidly. Because if you remember at the beginning of the pandemic, only essential providers were really working, you know, and the state had a pretty strict definition at first. And so childcare providers were limited to who they could serve at that time too. They could only serve children of essential providers. And so for a lot of early childhood provider or a lot of childcare providers, they had to make really hard decisions about shutting their doors or not. And the state stepped in with subsidies, paying differentials, covering parents' co-pays during that time. And so they did a number of things to work to make sure that there was still some supports in place for the childcare providers. And then on the national level, when some relief funds started coming down, the state released funds to childcare providers as well. So the most recent large example of that would be in September of this year, I believe it was, the state distributed millions of dollars it was called the Childcare Stabilization Grant. And it was to hundreds of providers in the state, both home and childcare providers, to help them stay afloat, essentially. And they were really, really broad grants, so those providers could use them for just about anything.
You served on an advisory council for early childhood education and care in this state. You know, what are the conversations that were happening, bringing all the stakeholders together?
You know, one of the things that the department had to do was figure out a structure, you know, different bureaus, who's going to be handling what. And so, you know, childcare is its own arena, services that fall under the banner of what would be called like early intervention. So, home visiting. There's also, you know, the preschool programs, so like pre-K and Head Start, and they're all funded differently. They're all ran differently. So Head Start being a federal program, for example, and pre-K being state-run program. And so there were, you know, the good news about all of this that happened is that we've known for years what the issues were. So there's a fair amount of consensus on things that needed to happen. We know that there's not enough early childhood providers in general, not just in childcare, but across the board. And early childhood providers don't get paid living wages. And so those are, you know, those are things that people know pretty much across the board. We need to be able to recruit more people into the field so that, you know, so that students understand that early childhood is a viable career option, and we need to pay them a living wage so that they can stay in the field. And really, you know, if we're going to communicate to the public that early childhood is important, which that message has gotten out, that, you know, that's why we're on the brink of this land grant amendment vote. That message has gotten out, but the message that seems to be getting out slower is that we need to pay early childhood providers what they're worth, especially when we see the same kinds of shortages in early childhood that we see in K-12 education.
That was Lori Martinez, Executive Director of Engage New Mexico.